Hi guys, this is J King Direct, and I would like to welcome you, the viewer, to the Direct Mind podcast. We're featured on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also Google Podcasts, just to name a few. And this season, we're going to be interviewing a lot of different kinds of people. Some are motivational speakers. Some are artists, others are also business people. That way we can get you guys a variety of content. And I won't just be hosting, I'll be also featuring other co-hosts. Now we will be on for season 2 until September, October. Stay tuned. I want to welcome you guys to the Direct Mind. The agenda of today's podcast is to get a lot of things cleared up that I know a lot of my friends have posted. I know a lot of people have spoken about, but these are things that are underlined and that have been there for years and years. And now people feel all of a sudden confident enough to talk about it when they should have been confident enough already to discuss these topics. But I can understand if people were scared. I can understand if people didn't feel like they deserved a lot of things or the time of day. So I do want to say that a lot of different ideas were going to be on the shelf if a lot of these newer things didn't happen. You can agree to disagree, but that's the fact of the matter. So I just want to say that out there. Now, I do want to let y'all know the fact that a lot of people do not want to speak out is on them. It's not on you. It's not on whether or not you felt better or worse. It's not on the simple fact that a lot of other people choose not to. Not just where we are as a society, but a voice in also creating change. Now, this society or this different ideals that are going on in our life are not going to end with us. You got to think about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 generations ahead of us. So how do we create a sustainable, actionable, long-term solution for all of this chaotic issues that have finally let the pot boil over? How do we do that? Well, I'm not here to give expert advice. I'm not here to say this person did this, that person did this. I'm not here to point fingers at people. I'm just here to say that a lot of the issues we're going through, we were already going through them. We were already persisting. It was just a matter of pushing the cat in the corner and watching it fight back. Now, I'm not saying I hate people. I'm not saying I feel this way about certain people. I'm not posting a fist up on my Instagram or my Facebook. I'm saying we need to have an elegant and powerful dialogue, not just a discussion, a conversation. I mean, a dialogue. We can have a play about this. We can discuss what's that person thinking, what's this person thinking, and then we can bring all of that together and we can heal. And one thing I do know about a lot of us so-called Black men, so-called African men, is we don't give ourselves enough time to heal. And I mean, not just physically. I mean, mentally. I mean, psychologically. I mean, emotionally. And I do mean in your diet, too. What do I mean by emotionally? There's a lot of pressure for Black men to be productive in this society. And when you take away their education, you take away their economic empowerment, you take away that the fact they don't earn nothing, they work for free, or they're pretty much having to sell illegal drugs just to make a single dollar, not even an honest dollar. You're kind of pigeonholing every other Black man to do the same, and not saying that pressure isn't there, but we got to change that image. We got to educate those youth when they're youth, because once you're grown, it's very hard and very systematic change that needs to happen for you to be able to change behaviors, psychology, and also emotions about anything. Like, for example, me and my psychological health, for example, I don't hate doctors. Yes, I hate hospitals because it's one of the most corrupt and profitable industries out here. You can go from prescription drugs. I can keep naming names. I can point all these pharmaceuticals that are in our foods. But I want to say that system has to end with the holistic understanding or health-based approach. Are we healthy? Are we stress-free? Are we stressed out? Do we need to go see therapists? Are we willing to admit that we have problems in ourselves or even that our children need help? Not a lot of men can say that. Not a lot of Black men would admit that. But ask yourself that as an individual, not necessarily just as me considering the minority factor or anything like that. No, I mean, like, are you creating an approach to your health, your mind? Are you educating others? Or are you constantly debating about where you should be in life and who you should be around and why you should be there and why you shouldn't do this? No.
Back to the topic at hand. I just wanted to be able to take a quick break for you guys. So if you're listening in your car or on your headphones, now you know that we're going right back into things. And that way you don't just quickly pause and transition back. All right. Thank you.
So other than that, guys, I do want to also emphasize that there's a lot of different privilege opportunities out here for us, all people who are born equal to become unequal. What do I mean by that? I mean the fact that there's business opportunities, employment opportunities, education opportunities for people to be able to navigate their pathway, their career, their lifestyle, and also their future. But is everybody taking advantage of it, or does everybody have the knowledge to take advantage of it? I'm not gonna quote anybody here and say they do. All right. So I'm just gonna say flat out, these opportunities and avenues need to be made available to everybody. And whether or not that's information access, internet access, or even more, how do you say it? Even more the opportunity access, that's nothing against what is going on here in this society, which we are living in. And me as a Black man, sitting there and posting a picture is not going to do justice for anybody. It's not going to do justice for those people that believe in me. It's not going to do justice for those people that don't. The only way I think we can actually make an accomplished change in this society is by making a permanent change in how we approach things as a society, how we approach things as an individual, and also how we approach things as global citizens. So we can sit here and say things are fair, things are going great, and I'm not here to say anything about that. Yes, I make music, and sometimes that music is entertainment. And yes, we do have the N-word. Yes, we do have all these other words, but these are self-taught terms that people have perpetuated and permeated in this society. And not to say anything against bringing up different issues here, I just want to say that a lot of people aren't considering the fact that we're going to be able to take a lot of different perspectives and also a lot of different opinions of where we think we should go. But who's right and who's wrong? Now, that can be very topsy-turvy, however you want to say it, slippery slope. But let me ask you this. If you can say this person's right because they're expert or they've been around for this so many times, years, and that situation doesn't necessarily apply to you, does it matter? Does that situation that you're thinking of matter to your life, your location, your environment? No, not necessarily. So you need to ask a better question. How about what can we do on a individual, regional, or even global level to increase awareness of these issues and be able to not remedy stuff with money, because money can solve issues, but it won't solve everything. You can give people money to go get scholarships, but if they use that same money and they're not even able to pay off student debt, let alone get a job, let alone even get a degree and not be able to work, does that even remedy their situation? Does it create wealth? I don't think so. So where I want to also talk about is that fact that a lot of us are discussing topics of supporting Black-owned businesses and Black supportive businesses. I really want to challenge that topic because every business is in there for profit. Black, white, doesn't matter what dollar. Yes, you can say I'm going to support the Black dollar, but you don't know what government programs funded those Black institutions and the SBA programs that were already initiated for those same people to get the money and start business. You don't know where the government's taking on that measure. So how can you just say, oh, I'm going to support a Black-owned business or Black business or a business that supports Black movements? It's not really educated as a guess. What we should really ask is, where is the origin and what is the purpose of that business? Is it educating lives? Is it improving our society? Is it furthering any cause? Good, bad, can be recycling. It can be this movement. It can be economic empowerment. It can even be scholarships. Ask yourself that. I don't want to pigeonhole something into a movement. Yes, I understand there is racism prevalent in a lot of these businesses, but I want to ask you a deeper question. Are these businesses even benefiting your community? Not you, your community as a whole. Are they bringing back tax dollars, paying for schools? I'm not even going to get into the police issue. Just schools, education, economics. Are they even helping other businesses promote their businesses? Because you don't know, for example, I'll give one. When I went to Morgan State, we had a Italian business called Sonny's donate to our lacrosse team at Morgan State. Now, you notice I said Italian. I didn't say white, Black. I said an Italian business called Sonny's. And they featured that whole supportive movement just for that club. Now imagine that scale being increased in value and those companies being integrated into your development. Like, for example, Morgan State is also going to include Sonny's fried chicken and subs in their new hospitality management building. They didn't have to speak a word. They've just shown action. So I want to ask you guys, words can mean a lot, but even more, let's research actions of these companies. Let's not just go what everybody else is saying. Let's find out who owns those companies. Let's not just shame people because they're part of a company or are part of a system that is still funding us. People don't forget that. Those same businesses are still funding one way, shape, or form a program and your daughter's or your son's schools. So you need to realize if they're not just funding us. For example, I'll give the Facebook example. Facebook gives out free internet to third world countries that do not even have the capability of using internet, and it's free with the phones people buy. It's not an extra cost to access a Facebook. And that's why you see Facebook go from 1 billion or so users to over 5 billion users. And WhatsApp and all these other apps are being integrated into these mega companies because they're solving not just one problem, but imagine global internet. Imagine being able to go to space. Imagine having all these funded programs for your community. I'm not saying you're a sellout. I'm not saying you shouldn't stand. I'm not saying you shouldn't protest. You should ask yourself those questions. Are you buying stuff because of people's opinions or your own research and facts? And that's where a lot of people can go in a gray area and they can say, oh, this company did this to me. This company did that to me. But ask yourself, what's the macro picture? Now, I will take a break in a second here. I want to feature an artist that I'd listened to, family friend, and I also want to invite other artists to drop links for their music that they want played on this show. That way, I don't take away any copyright infringements, and I'm able to highlight and give awareness back to the people that are supporting me. All right, so I'm just going to play a couple tunes here and we can enjoy, we can listen, we can laugh. So let's go ahead and listen to this first track of Obsidian. Yes, Obsidian means black dystopia, right? Obsidian Dystopia. We're going to listen to a family friend of mine. Her name is Kelly Webb. All right, so let's go ahead and play one of her songs. It's the first track on here, and you can find her music. It was released in about 2003, but I figured season two was to you guys. I owed it to you guys to play these kind of musics. And welcome to The Direct Mind. If this is your first time, thank you for tuning in. To see some friends. I didn't know if he was gone, but I was thinking of my love. I got to meet this man who plays a violin. His name's Igaba. Despite the people walking by, I could no longer be shy. I was enthralled, he was intelligent. And the best thing overall, he was attending many. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you want to chime in today, feel free. And this is the first episode. Thank you.
Don't wake me up unless it's real.
Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed that song, but I do have to cut short because we're sticking to our program here. So yes, we're back here. We're going to discuss these current issues of Black Lives Matters, or even more. We're going to talk about what this movement means to you personally on an individual level. So for me, for example, I am a Black man. I'm not a minority Black man because I wasn't taught to think like that. I am originally from Nairobi, Kenya, and I was born and raised there, and I was raised in a majority African country. So I have a different perspective of thinking. Now, it may not be everybody's perspective, right? But it is my perspective, so I have to own it. And one thing I do want to say about that is a lot of people don't want to own their brand. They don't want to own their lifestyle. They don't want to own their opportunity. And can I blame them for where they are in life? No, I really can't. I really can't. And I'll tell you why. Because you cannot change what other people are not aware of. And this leads into levels of thinking that I learned from a mastermind of thinking. He actually talked to me about how to develop my thinking when I was a freshman in college. So I just want to discuss about this. So the unaware mind is not aware if they're wrong, right? Ignorant, good, bad. But the unaware mind is powerful in that ignorance can achieve a lot of things just by ignoring circumstances and consequences. Hope that makes sense. The next level to that is, for example, I have some red hibiscus tea. What does that do for me? Well, my ignorant mind would think, man, that's just a herbal tea, herbal blend. But my aware mind, my thinking mind, actually started understanding the benefits of taking and making your own drinks, making your own teas, making your own brand, making your own things that you consume. When you start consuming your environment and not accepting what your environment is and creating your own consumption, your own feed, your own feedback, you start to understand that a lot of people are not necessarily leading or following. They're just consuming what the environment is giving them, and they're sick. They're pissed off. They're mad. You can say they are haters, but they're really not hating anybody or anything. They're just being force-fed all these advertisements, all these buy this, buy that, all this mess about this is who you should be and who you shouldn't be. And it kind of messes with people because they don't know whether or not they're better than other people. Because again, you're not aware of what you're consuming. You're not aware of how to change it. If you are, then you can say, okay, I did this right or I did it wrong. And a lot of people don't have that sense of, I'm aware of my environment. I can accept what it is and I can actualize myself and grow from that or grow away from it. And I was listening to another powerful speaker what's his name? Les, it's missing my tongue, but he is a very powerful speaker, and he was speaking about how he was still shining shoes, DJing, and also going to these seminars about success, and still didn't see himself successful. And by successful, I mean like, yeah, I think it's, hold on, I don't want to mess this up. All right, Les Brown, for example, he didn't necessarily be unaware of his circumstances. He was made aware by his teacher in high school, and his teacher told him, you can do whatever you would like. You just have to work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. And that's permeating levels and levels to a lot of different things going on here. And by that, I mean, a lot of people are not being diligent about what is around them and what they're being fed, what they're being constantly told, and what is said around them. They're not understanding they can be able to grow from that environment and be able to dominate it and be able to counteract all that racism, all that. Wow. All that racism, all that societal imaging and imprinting. And the reason I say imaging and imprinting, for example, we all have a body image that we maintain about ourselves, good and bad. And a lot of people are not willing to accept that they have one and can grow from it. They're always saying to themselves, man, I look only as good as they think I do, not as I do. And that's about the imaging. Now about the imprinting, think of it sort of like an egg or a little baby or even a little mammal. An egg, once it hatches, has only about 24 to 72 hours of imprinting and finding its balance and finding out what it is. And the only way it can know what it is by what its environment is telling it it is. And when you've imprinted in someone something, a belief, a way of thinking, a way of not being able to challenge their environment or challenge themselves, they continue believing that. And the reason I brought up Les Brown is because he had those beliefs that he was never good enough until he challenged himself. Why do I think that way? What's making me think that way? What's making me take those steps and those actions to see where I am in life? So the reason I can sit here and say all of it is about Black Lives Matter, but we need to first change this, how we're approaching it, because otherwise we're just going to perpetuate the same stuff, and the same stuff isn't getting people anywhere. It's not victimness. It's not being a victim here. It's not people saying, oh, you can't grow from this. It's just saying a lot of people are not considering how to get out of it. And by not being able to get out of it, we blame everybody else. Instead of what are we not doing to get up, to get out? Yes, I understand there was 400 years of imprinting, slavery, indentured servants, jails, people being worked like dogs and getting paid less than $500 a year. But what can you do about it as an individual? Are you going to subject yourself to the unequal treatment? I feel unfair. Or are you going to do some actionable steps to separate yourself? Not from anybody else. From that old image you've had of yourself and that old imprint you've continued to believe was true, but really was not. Because again, fear is false evidence appearing real. Are you going to keep believing false evidence, or are you going to find out and research? And maybe you don't want to research. Maybe you want the expert to research for you. Are you going to believe the expert, or are you going to criticize and scrutinize where he's getting his evidence from? Are you just a follower following, or are you a follower who is eventually going to lead? Nobody's a leader until they're a good follower. And we all have to understand that. We all want to be leaders, all want to be promoters, all want to have all these businesses. A lot of people don't know how to follow. And a lot of business people, great business people, learned early how to follow and be effective at learning all those steps of micromanaging, delegating, day-to-day management. Then they proceeded to say, I'm tired of all that. I want to own. The moment we go from managing to owning and not mitigating all these circumstances and mitigating all these people that are causing us trouble. Yes, I understand there's racism, but racism takes two. It's not one person accepting their fate. Takes an oppressor, and it also takes the oppressed to believe they're being oppressed. If you believe you are oppressed, you will never rise from it. But if you're aware of that mentality and you're aware that you can rise and you're aware that there's opportunity, you will not be affected, diverted, and you will own your circumstances. And that's not advice to anybody. That's just understanding what imprinting and imaging is. Now, I don't want to sit here and talk about issues I'm not an expert at. But I do know this. Even being born as I am, society cast an imprint on me, and I have to break that imprint every time. Oh, I'm a black man. But I'm also African. But I'm also a citizen. I'm also American. Where do you lie? Where do you sit? Where do you do this? How do you drink your water? How do you taste this? What do you chew? What do you identify with? Who are you? Ask yourself that. Are you constantly gonna keep perpetuating that imprint of I don't have enough? Or I'm not enough for this society or for where I am to go above it or to rise or to educate or to even bring and delegate better ideas and opportunities to this society? Or are you going to consistently tell yourself you can never be better than where you came from? You can never understand where it is you're going until you look back, you look again, and like the Sankofa term from Ghana, however I say it, you have to be able to look back to move forward. Now, a lot of us are avoiding looking back at what has happened, what is happening, and where we're going. A lot of people want the destination, but are not willing to look at the origin of those destinations. And I want to challenge whoever else listens, tunes in, and also contributes, because I do want to hear your music. I do want people to know you are out there. But I want you to also understand that you are educated. Doesn't matter what skin tone I look like. Doesn't matter what skin tone you look like. Music is music. Music is for the soul. And in that sense, as a businessman, I have to be able to appreciate it. Now, I'm gonna definitely go to another commercial break here. So I don't want to hold you guys up. If you have somewhere to be, just pause this and come back. And that way we can be able to continue this productive session for you. So we do have Kelly at another track here. We're going to go ahead and pick the second track on this Obsidian Dystopia. I want to hear what she was saying, but let's make it interesting. I'm going to play a minute of this, and then I'm going to play her sixth track, which is Give Me My Dream Back. All right. So this one is called Fire in the Distance. Let's go ahead and hear it.
Back to the topic at hand. I just wanted to be able to take a quick break for you guys. So if you're listening in your car or on your headphones, now you know that we're going right back into things, and that way you don't just quickly pause and transition back. All right. Thank you.
Just like for real, just ask a simple question. I mean, I love certain hobbies. Some of them is like, for example, I'll take poker. I play that for like 4 or 5 hours. Sometimes it's productive, sometimes it's not. But I need that to satisfy my emotional health. Because if I don't let loose, somebody's going to get it. Hopefully it's not you. But I know how to let my avenues and channel my frustrations. I don't have to hate people or protest anything for me to be productive in this society. Now, other than that, let's talk about mentally. There's a lot of mental things that are happening, and good and bad. I can't say I'm mad at what's going on, but it was about time. A lot of people say it's about time 60 years ago. A lot of people want to check for this, check for that. They want to check because, oh, the $1,200 is what they were worth, what, 250 years ago or 150 years ago? Come on. That stuff's getting old. I want people to be able to know they can invest their money into a stock versus keep it in a bank. Who's going to take your money and spend it anyways on those things that you don't support? Why don't you go invest your money? Put your money where it matters. Don't hide it in the back of a mattress. Don't feel like people are taking it from you, so you gotta hide it in a bank. The bank's gonna do against you. Why don't you invest with Black investors? Why don't you invest in Black capital? Why don't you invest in yourself? Conscious of what is going on and what isn't. I know there's a lot of people who are going to profit from this downturn, this COVID, this response to Black Lives Matter. And I'm saying to you, don't be the victim. Twice. It happened in 2008. It happens now. And then also, it happened back in 1929 with the Black Renaissance. And what the Black Renaissance did was it created a definable presence of African American, Latin American, Irish American, and also Asian, and also Creole, and also Chinese societies in this American society. And there was wealth. But I'm not here to debate about what happened on the stock market crash or anything that we needed a war to win to get us back. I'm saying people've had these opportunities to create wealth. How many people have kept it and continued it and perpetuated it and grown it and benefited. I can say something about the lady that was doing the pomade, and she was the first African-American millionaire that was a woman. I can talk about her, but this is not Black History Month every day. This is not a discussion about that. This is a discussion about how do we improve and be sustainable. And being sustainable is understanding wealth creation. It's understanding psychological health. It's understanding mental health. It's understanding how to be diet conscious. A lot of us are consuming unhealthy, dangerous, and also unneeded nutrients in our bodies. And we can't just cleanse that out in one day. If you've had years and years of putting your body under that kind of stress, it takes a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years to just get rid of that and to get back to your holistic self. And that self is powerful. It has empowered others. And I'll leave you guys with this note. And this is something I do not take for granted. I do not hate. I have been able to empower other students around the world to be able to have confidence in taking a college level or above test for free. I will tutor you for free. If you are willing to put in the work, if you are willing and serious and diligent about getting that next level degree and you need a certain test score, I'm willing to help you. But if you're not serious, don't waste your time. My time is already multiplied. My time is already working for me. It's already ahead of me. So I want to help those people that want to lead, people that want to follow and become leaders, and people that want to educate. And I appreciate y'all for listening. This has been the first episode of The Direct Mind. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening, and please subscribe, share, or donate. Even one quarter goes a long way towards the production of our podcast. Thank you.